Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacey Lunsford. Tonight's topic is a willingness to love. And I have a couple of questions to ask before we start. Are you willing to love based on the contents of your heart versus the contents of your mind, where negative mindsets, ideologies, prejudices, social injustices, wrongdoings, mistreatment, abuse, and abuse stole, silenced, and muffled your love? I'm asking these questions because regardless of what happened to you and regardless of what color you are, red, white, yellow, black, or brown, one thing is true. One thing is common with all of us, Jews or Gentiles. Our love has been buried underneath mountains and rivers of hatred that have flowed from sea to sea. And today, all I want to know is, are you willing to love like God? Are you willing to love like Jesus? Are you willing to love like the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to love like me? Be blessed, uplifted, and encouraged as you listen to this message about love with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. And we do bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And our foundational scripture for tonight's message, A Willingness to Love, comes from the New Testament. And I'm going to give our two foundational scriptures to start with. Well, actually, I'm going to give you three. And all three scriptures are found in the New Testament. And the first scripture is Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 36 through 38. Matthew 22, verse 36 and 38. The second scripture is Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 30 and verse 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, 31. And our third scripture is Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 9. And that is one of my favorite verses. And I pray that these scriptures stand the title of this message, A Willingness to Love. And when we talk about a willingness to love, we have to think about what willingness means. And willingness is a state of preparedness. When we're willing to do something, we have a desire to do it. We're enthusiastic about it. We have a readiness, and there is no hesitation. So when I ask the question, a willingness to love, are you willing to love? And when I just think about that question, it's like, why would she be asking a question like that? Because sometimes people get hurt and they no longer have a desire to love because they're afraid of getting hurt again. So that's why I ask my question, do you have a willingness to love? And in my opening statement, I identified racism. I identified some of the things that we go through in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our churches, in our cities, in our states, in every continent around the world. Hatred can be seen. Hatred can be heard, and hatred can be felt. And my goal with sharing this message is to shine the light on love, because love covers a multitude of sins. Do you have a willingness to love? Willingness is the quality of being happy to do something if it is needed. Now, God wants us to love one another, but God wants us to love him. And one of the greatest commandments in the Bible, and actually it is the greatest commandment, and it is found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 36 and verse 38. And for those of you that are following along with me, we're going to start at verse 36. The master, which is the great master, which the great commandment in the law. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And so going into Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 30 and 31, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likely, namely this, thou shall love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. There is no other commandment greater than these. And again, the first, the greatest commandment is that we shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So when we talk about having a willingness to love, do you love God? Are you aware that God loves you, regardless if you love him or not? And there is a very familiar scripture in the Word of God that tells us how much God loves us. And that scripture is found in John 3rd chapter and verse 16. And it says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, and I'm paraphrasing, to die in our place. Now, I don't know about you, but that's love. It is an amazing love. And there is a song that says, amazing love, how could it be that you, my king, would die for me? And I'm going to read John 3:16 in its entirety. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, right in that opening verse, for God so loved the world. You see, God had a willingness to love the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God had a willingness to love the world, you and I. And he gave his only begotten son. The best gift, the best present we could ever receive was, is, and always will be God's son, Jesus Christ. And the word of God tells us that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And how amazing it is to me, how many people are not willing to love because they have an issue with Jesus. It's totally amazing to me that many people choose to hate because they don't believe in Jesus. And it's okay if you don't believe in Jesus, but where's all the hostility coming from? We have different religions. People have different beliefs, but there is no other religion in this world. And I'm sorry, I don't like to associate, this is kind of tough because I'm not a religious person, okay? I am a believer of Jesus Christ, and I like to follow his teaching. If you ask me, am I a Christian, I would have to say I believe in Christianity in its entirety, because Christianity gives believers in Christ a bad name because of the misrepresentation of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and the demonstration of hatred, rage, bitterness, racism, and prejudice overrides the word of God. Now, Romans 12 and 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And dissimulation means to let our love be real. Let it be without hypocrisy. Let it be without concealment. Don't let your love be fake. Don't let your love be dishonest, nicely camouflaged by deceit. I absolutely love the word of God because it teaches us so much about love and many other things. So God is love, and his love is pure. God's love is not impure. God's love is not fake. Satan loves to counterfeit everything that God does. So the counterfeit of love is lust. The counterfeit of love is the opposite of love is hatred. So how do we override? How do we overrule? How do we overtake? How do we root out? How do we pull down? How do we tear down every vestige of slavery that challenges our faith as believers, that made a decision to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, the one who represents love, the one the Father loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You see, one day we are all going to die. And my question tonight is, where will you go when you die? Do you have a willingness to live, or are you willfully ready to say, wherever I end up is where I end up? Because, you know, at the end of the day, when the curtain comes down and your role in this world is over, you either going to go to hell or you going to go to heaven. If you go to heaven, it's because you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and personal Savior. If you reject Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, then you choose to be where you are as you go to hell and spend eternal life. And the truth is, we're all going to die one day, and we're going to live either eternally in heaven with God, or we're going to live eternally in heaven with Satan and burn in the lake of fire. Intense heat, gnashing of teeth is not a pleasant place to be. Do you have a willingness to love? So going back to the question, do you have a willingness to love? Do you have a readiness to love? Tina Turner, when her biography, the movie, came out, What's Love Got to Do with It, the song, and love has something to do with everything. And then there's another song that says there is a thin line between love and hate. And I want to go back to the word willingness again, because the title of tonight's message is, it's a willingness to love. And my question is, do you have a willingness to love? Now, it's a thin line between love and hate. And then Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? And there's a lot of love songs out here. But I want to talk about a thin line between love and hate. whether you love or whether you hate, it's a choice that we all make. And we can choose to hate and we can choose to love. Now, some of us, we've been taught to hate. And some of us, we have been taught to love. Now, hatred can be unlearned, but you have to have a willingness to learn how to love. And if you don't know how to love because all you know is hate, all you have to do is make a choice. You don't have to follow the behaviors of those that trained you how to be full of hatred, how to be vindictive, how to be mean-spirited, how to be nasty, how to be prejudiced, how to be racist, how to be unkind to other people. And that goes for whatever race you are, where you think your race is more superior than other people. I don't care what nationality you are, what race you are. I don't care what your faith is. I don't care what your religion is. And let me stop saying religion. Let's move away from religion. Let's talk about faith and spirituality, because God wants us to be in a relationship with him. In Isaiah 43 and verse 10, it says, ye are my servants and my witnesses. And God says he wants us to know him and understand him. Before him, there was no God made. And guess what? After him, there will be no God. There is no other God. God is God. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. And he is everything in between. Do you have a willingness to love, or do you have a willingness to hate? And if so, where is your hatred coming from? And then if you do have a willingness to love, how are you sharing that love with other people and those that you come in contact with? Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. So if you sow in love, you're going to get love back. If you sow in hatred, you're going to get hatred back. And I don't know about you, but love feels way better than hatred does. So I want to talk about willingness. And a synonym for willingness is zeal or goodwill. Enthusiasm. Are you enthusiastic about loving? Are you enthusiastic about love? Do you have a genuine desire in your heart to love others without ulterior motives, simply out of honor and respect to God's word? In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 30 and 31, that says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shall love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we have a command from God. It is not optional. It is mandatory. It is a command. But God is not a forceful God. He is not going to make us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, many people take this scripture out of context, and they think they're supposed to love their neighbor more than they love themselves. But the truth is, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? And let's go a step further. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your husband? How are you going to love your wife? How are you going to love your children? What is the source of your love? And what is the source, the root issue of your hatred? I want to talk about self-loathing for a moment. And self-loathing is associated with hatred. And a lot of people that don't love themselves, they struggle with self-hatred and self-loathing. And they are very hard on themselves. They're very condemning, self-condemnation. And self-loathing is when a person is like full of self-hatred. They hate themselves. And there's a source of their hatred. Nobody is born saying, oh, I hate myself. that hatred is stemming from something. And the key is to find out what the root issue is. And one of the cohorts of self-loathing is low self-esteem. So when we look at the word loathing, loathing is extreme disgust. Loathing is to detest something. Or detestation is extreme hatred or dislike of something or someone. And when I ask the question, do you have a willingness to love? And for those that say no, then I have to ask why. Why don't you have a willingness to love? And depending on what you would answer, what your response would be, would determine how I would respond to you. Without being critical, without being judgmental, and without being condemning, because I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to discredit you. I'm not here to talk about you. All I care about is your relationship with God. And God wants us to love one another. 31, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. And if you don't have pure love in your heart, and you got hatred in your heart, and you got bitterness in your heart, you got rage in your heart, you got unforgiveness in your heart, you have resentment in your heart, you have jealousy, envy, and strife in your heart, all of these things are love stealers. They are going to work overtime to steal your love. And the purpose of stealing your love is to get you off track from walking in love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and guess what? With all thy mind. Well, if your mind is somewhere else, if your mind is always thinking about something else, somebody else, and not thinking about God, guess what? That person, place, or thing is going to become more important to you than God. So how can we fulfill the greatest command, which is to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind? So let me talk about the soul for a moment. Do you have a soul in your heart? I mean, do you have a hole in your heart? Do you have a hole in your soul? What caused the hole in your heart? Because whatever caused the hole in your heart also caused the hole in your soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. When we get hurt, when we get wounded, when something good happens to us, guess what? We don't rehearse it or nurse it like we do when we get hurt. And in that soulish realm, we get hurt. Oh, me is my. Oh, me is my. Whoa, 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 whoa is me. We tell everybody what happened to us. We rehearse it. We repeat it over and over and over. We relive it. We embrace the flashbacks, the dreams, the nightmares. We talk about it. We let it grow. It turns from a molehill to a big, big mountain. And God clearly tells us that we can speak to the mountain and the mountain shall be removed. But sometimes we are our worst enemy because we don't know how to properly take care of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and our spirits. And today's message is designed to help you just stop, drop, and think for a moment. Do I, just ask yourself this question, do I have a willingness to love? Do I have a readiness to love? Am I prepared to love? Do I love God? Do I love myself? If I really do love God, am I willing to share the love that he showers on me with other people? Or am I selfish, self-centered, and just concerned about myself? because some people do believe that God loves them and they receive the fullness of his love, but because they don't trust people and they have issues, they don't walk in love like they should. And this is not a place to point fingers or to condemn. It's real. Some people have been hurt and they've been wounded and they love God. They receive his love. But you know what? They don't want to go no further than that. But in order to obey God's command, they have to. Because the word of God, the word of God says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we can't have a willingness to love if we are harboring woundedness, hurt, pain, stress, anxiety, panic attacks, fear. On Friday nights on the Eloquently Speaking View talk show, we've been talking about mental health. We've been bringing mental awareness issues and topics to the table. And tonight's message is touching base with some of those topics, because hurt people hurt people. I will never stop saying that phrase because it's so true. Hurt people hurt people. But healed people help hurt people get healed. And when hurt people get healed, guess what? They begin to walk in love. They begin to receive God's love. They love themselves. And they start sowing seeds of love into the lives of those that they come in contact with. And let's take it a step further. They begin to walk in forgiveness. And once they forgive those that have hurt them, and once they ask those that they have hurt to forgive them, whether that person or people release them or forgive them or not, they understand the protocol. It's not about me and the person. If they don't forgive me, then that's between them and God. But I'm going to walk in the freedom of my liberty. I'm no longer bound because I apologize. I did what God was requiring of me. Do you have a willingness to love? Do you want to love, or do you want to harbor hatred? Do you want to stay parked where you are? Because you know what? The choice is yours. I choose to move. I can't stay parked there. I have to move on. I have many reasons why I don't want to love, but you know what? God's love overrides my reasons, because I don't live to please me. I live to please God. And God said that I should love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And guess what? There is a season where, eloquently speaking, dig this, she loved God. Yes, I did. And to this day, I love God. I love God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. But you know what? Sometimes my mind ain't right. Sometimes I'm dealing with matters of the heart, and it hurts. And where I used to run and hide from God, I don't run and hide from God anymore. Where I used to wear a mask because I was trying to camouflage and hide all of the hurt and pain that I was carrying inside. Who was I fooling? The mask wasn't fooling God. It may have fooled you. My disguise may have looked like, oh, she's on top of the world. She's so happy. She always saying God made her smile again. Well, what's she smiling about? Listen, I got a whole lot to smile about, but you don't know the depth of my hurt nor my pain. I have a willingness to love because I never, ever, 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 ever want to have that kind of hatred in my heart again. Because I tell you, my heart was turning black. And I was starting not to care about people. I love God, but I was like, God, I'm done with your people. I'm done with being taken advantage of. I'm done with being mistreated. I'm done with people taking my kindness for granted. I am not a floor mat. But you know what? I still had to humble myself. And to this day, I still humble myself. And until the day that Jesus Christ comes back, I am going to humble myself, because I refuse to walk in the spirit of haughtiness, arrogance, and pride. I repent for even entertaining the spirit of pride. In order to walk in of love, dig this. You have to renounce the spirit of pride every day. You have to embrace the spirit of humility, lowliness, meekness. Your heart, the motives, the reasons that you do the things that you do, they need to be pure. because you could do whatever you want and your motives can be impure, and you may get over on somebody. You may act like you love somebody, but underneath you don't. You just trying to get close to them so that you can do what you want to do, so that you could get what you want to get from them. And you think that you're getting away with it, but you are not. The word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So you need to be very, 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 very careful about who you are touching with your mouth, with your words, with your hands. God sees all things. One of his names is El Roi. There's nothing being done in this world that he does not see. And when we do things for others, he knows why we do them. He knows if we're operating in love. He knows if we're operating in hatred. He knows if we're operating in jealousy, envy, and strife. He knows if we're doing something just to please other people. He knows when we're doing something simply to please him. Not because we want anything from him, but because we love him. Do you have a willingness to love tonight? What is the source of your love? If you do not have a source, if you do not have a willingness to love, then why? The opposite of love is hatred. Do you have a willingness to be hateful? Do you hate people? Do you hate loving? Why do you hate? What is the source of your hate? If you can identify the source of your hate, you can get over it. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be set free, and you can learn how to let go of the hatred, the bitterness, the resentment. Who wants to fight all the time? Who wants to be angry all of the time when you can walk in love, joy, peace, happiness? I'm not saying you're not going to have trials and tribulations. You will. Being a believer of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that every day we're tiptoeing through the tulips. It's not that kind of party. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not death. It is just false evidence appearing real. In the valley, it is dark. In the valley, it is dark. In the valley, it is dark. The spirit of heaviness is lingering, hovering in the valley of the shadow of death. If it's a shadow, it's not the real thing. But regardless of what you encounter in the valley of the shadow of death, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So I don't know about you, but I must be in agreement with the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie. Do you have a willingness to love tonight, or do you have a willingness to hate? Do you have a willingness to hate tonight, or do you have a willingness to love tonight? Do you have a willingness to hate tonight, or do you have a willingness to love tonight? Do you have a willingness to love tonight, or do you have a willingness to hate tonight? All the haters in the house say yeah. All the lovers in the house say yo, 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 yo. Yo, yo, I choose to love, I choose to love, I choose to love, 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 love. And it's just that simple. It's all about choices. You can choose to hate or you can choose to love. So let's talk about the second command, love thy neighbor as thyself. Our duty to our neighbors is not something that is made up. It is biblical. It is written in God's word. And if you would go with me to Romans, the 13th chapter. Give me one moment. I pray that you are being blessed by this message tonight. Is Stacy Lunsford, and you are listening to The Heartbeat of God. And our topic tonight is a willingness to love. And for those of you that are following along, and I apologize for the little pause there, but for those of you that are following along in Mark, the 12th chapter, in verse 31, it says, and the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And this is talking about our duty, our reasonable service to love our neighbors. And I want to provide a couple of scriptures with you in regards to our duty to our neighbors. And I want to ask a question. Do you love your neighbors? Or do you hate your neighbors? Do you help your neighbors when they're in love, when they're in need? Or do you ignore and act like you don't see that there's a need? When you hear your neighbors crying, when you hear your neighbors screaming and fighting, do you reach out in prayer? Do you stop and talk to them to ask them if everything is okay? We have a duty to our neighbors, and that duty is found in Mark, the 12th chapter, in the latter part of verse 31. But our duty is in Romans, let me turn there, Romans, the 13th chapter, in the 10th verse. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, these are not my words. This is the word of the Lord. And all of the scriptures that I'm going to share with you right now, it's talking about our duty to our neighbors. So Romans, the 15th chapter in verse 1, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us, Romans 15 and verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Galatians, the 5th chapter in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in James, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself, ye do well. And that leads us into brotherly love, and I'm not going to get into brotherly love right now, and I want to continue with duty to our neighbors. So sometimes we have neighbors that are our enemies, and according to the word, we still have a duty to our enemies, and it's a choice. We all throughout the word of God, we have information and we have prophetic instructions, and God gives a command. When he gives a command, it is not optional. So we all have a choice to obey him or to disobey him. So Exodus, the 23rd chapter in verse 4, it says, if thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass go astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Now, how many of you know, we're not going to use an ox, your neighbor's dog got out the yard, you saw the dog around the corner, and you didn't give two thoughts about reaching out to your neighbor and say, hey, I saw your dog around the corner. That's not what God wants you to do. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. That's saying, I don't care about my neighbor or that dog. That dog could stay there all night for all I care. So Leviticus 19:34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And if thy brother, Leviticus 25:35, and if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, that though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. I don't know about you, but these things that I'm reading right now, these prophetic instructions, I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it without God's love. I can't do it without God's grace or without God's mercy. So God, help me to love myself. Help me to love my neighbors as I love myself. And God, help me to love my enemies. God, that's a hard thing you asking me to do, but I know with your help I can do it, because your word says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can love my enemies. I can be nice to my enemies. I can help my enemies. It's all about a choice. Do I love you, God, enough to obey your commandment and lend a helping hand to my enemies, my neighbor that is an enemy, my neighbors that hate me, my neighbor that don't even want to help me find my dog? Lord, my dog went out the gate and was all the way around the corner, and my neighbor saw the dog and didn't tell. Didn't have enough decency to say, hey, we saw your dog. So when you have a willingness to love, when you have a readiness to love, when you have a prepared heart to love, when you see your neighbors in distress, you're going to speak up. You're going to do something about it. You're going to say, hey, I, is there anything that I can do to help you through this difficult time? You will call your neighbor up, or you go knock on the door. Hey, I saw your dog around the corner. I didn't want to, like, try and run after him or try and get him, because he might have went a little further, but right now he's at such and such a place, and if you go now, you probably could get him. Simple. Simple act of kindness, simple act of love, showing compassion to your neighbor, which is lined up with Mark, the 12th chapter and verse. Excuse me. That scripture is lined up with Mark 12, verse 31, which is the second to love thy neighbor. Excuse me. To love thy neighbor as thyself. So I pray that this message is a blessing to you. And I want to take this time to ask if you have any questions. If you do, please feel free to inbox me, or you can press 1 and I'll grace you on the mic, or you can send your emails to Stacey Lunsford, S-T-A-C-E-Y-L-U-N, as in Nancy, S as in Stacey, F as in Frank, at eloquentlyspeaking.com, and that is ELOQUENTLY, S as in Stacy, PEAKING, and that's Stacy Lunsford at eloquentlyspeaking.com. So I know I've been talking about loving thy neighbor as thyself, and that is the second command, but this entire message is based on Matthew's, the 22nd chapter, which is the greatest command. And the greatest command is that we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, remember, I asked a lot of questions before I went to loving thy neighbor as thyself as the second greatest command. Because all of the issues, all of the matters of the heart, all of the things that have captivated your mind, all of the distractions, all of the hindrances, all of the things that prevent you from receiving God's love and loving yourself and loving others is associated with our ability to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I just shared some scriptures about our duty to our neighbors and then even our duty to our enemies. Now, believe it or not, we even have a duty to our strangers. Yes, and I say are strangers because every day we meet somebody new. Every day somebody, a stranger, enters into this country, enters into our cities, our states, our neighborhoods, our communities, our schools. We're meeting strangers all of the time, and we have a duty to our two strangers that we meet. Exodus 22 and verse 21, it says, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." And you could check out Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and verse 9. So Leviticus, the 19th chapter, in verse 34, it says, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God." So we need to obey God's commands. Love our neighbors. Love our enemies. And love the strangers that we come in contact with. So now we talked about duty to our neighbors, duty to our enemies, duty to strangers. And this leads us to kindness. Kindness is associated with our willingness to love. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we are going to turn there. And I thank you for taking very good notes tonight. If there's anything that I need to go over, please ask me to do so. And I will go back over whatever you are requesting. So Galatians, the 5th chapter. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no love." There is no law. So love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. When you have love, you extend kindness. When you have joy, you extend kindness. When you have peace, you extend kindness. When you exhibit long suffering, guess what? It may be a painful place that you're in, but you're still extending kindness. Gentleness is present, you're going to be kind. Goodness is present, you're going to be kind. Faith is present, you're going to be kind. Meekness is present, you're going to be kind. Temperance, which is self-control, is present, you're going to be kind. If you're not exhibiting self-control, guess what? You're going to be the opposite of kind. You're going to be mean. What is the source of your meanness? What are you mad about? "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's be conscious of the decisions and the choices that we have to love or not to love. Every day, all we have to do is make a decision, and our decision will determine if we are going to have a willingness to love or if we're going to have a willingness not to love. Do we have a willingness to hate, or do we have a choice to hate? What's your choice today? Do you choose love or do you choose hatred? So I believe that the Apostle Paul understood loving our neighbors as ourselves was a difficult thing to do. And that is why he exhorted the people in Rome to let their love be real, not pretentious. Let's look at the scripture I gave earlier in Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." And again, dissimulation means to love without hypocrisy, without concealment, without being fake. The greatest gift of love is found in John 3:6 John 3:16, where God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son to die in our place. Now that is love. Love involves being open to accept change. Jesus accepted this change when he left glory to travel through the birth canal of his mother Mary, who was a virgin that had never had intercourse in her life. She was espoused to Joseph, and Joseph never touched Mary. So Jesus traveled through the birth canal of his mother to enter the earth as a human being, yet fully God. He lived, he died, he was buried. He arose from the grave with all power in his hands, and he demonstrated the most powerful act of love by revealing himself first to Mary Magdalene, next to the disciples, and then to Doubting Thomas. Who wouldn't love a man like that? This topic of love really excites me. It gets my adrenaline running full throttle because as a distributor of God's love, I fully understand the importance of Apostle Paul's exhortation in Romans the 12th chapter in verse 9 that says, and I'm paraphrasing, don't let your love be fake. Let your love be real, and don't let your love be impure and contaminated by displaying behavior that is not true to your nature. Let your love be in its purest form. Do not hide your love. Don't water your love down. Don't let your love flow straight up from the heart of God without a chaser, because God wants our love to capture the hearts of the people. When I was at Calvary, we sang the song, and they will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. I could go on and on about this topic of love. When love covers a multitude of sin, guess what? It is in its purest form. But when love is impure, love uncovers multitude of sins. I mean, let me say that over again. I didn't say that right. When sin is in its purest form, love can't cover because it desires to uncover. It desires to expose. But when love is pure, love is going to cover because love covers a multitude of sins. But when love is impure, love uncovers multitude of sins, and this is contrary to the word of God. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and he covered our sins. Yet most believers fail to understand that, it is the power in the blood of Jesus, and they reject the blood of Jesus and the ability to love from a biblical perspective. You see, it is the rejection of Jesus' blood that contaminates their love. And they love, and their love becomes tainted, and they specialize in exploiting and uncovering sins versus forgiving, restoring, healing, and delivering the body of Christ. Do you have a willingness to love, or do you have a willingness to hate? Again, I understand the Apostle Paul's exhortation in Romans 12:9 to let our love be without dissimulation, because in Galatians 2, he had to correct the Apostle Peter. And he had to correct him in love because his love was tainted. His love was impure, and the level of hypocrisy that Peter was operating in was leading people astray. So God is a God of order, and what I love about his word is no one is exempt from correction and love. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. God is not concerned about our titles. God is concerned about the condition of our hearts. God said in his word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Not I might. He said, I will. But this thing is conditional. It says, if my people, which are called by my name. Are you called by his name? Do you know him? And again, Isaiah 43 and verse 10, God said, ye are my servants and my witnesses. I want you to know me. Do you know him this evening? God is a God of order. And what I love about his word is that no one is exempt from being corrected in love. Even if it hurts, it should be done in love. Even if it stings, it should be done in love. Even if it burns, it should be done in love. Let love be without dissimulation. Love shouldn't hurt as much as it does. If I have to go through all this hurt and pain to be a part of your love or to a partaker of your love, to share your love, then I don't want your love, because your love is fake. Your love is not real. Your love is not genuine. Romans 12 and 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. So when your love is real, hallelujah, when your love is pure, you're not going to hurt people. You're not going to stab people in the back. You're not going to gossip. You're not going to slander. You're not going to fall in the category of Psalms 37. That says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Are you an evildoer? Are you causing people to fret? Are you causing people to worry? Are you instilling fear? Are you operating in the spirit of manipulation, control? Are you trying to intimidate people and using scare tactics to get them to do what you want them to do so that they think that you love them, but you don't love them? You are spiritually raping them. You are taking advantage of them. And do you think that God don't see what you're doing? God sees what you're doing. I see what you're doing. And you're not going to get away with what you're doing. And in case you forgot, you love to misrepresent God all the time, but let me take you to the word of God. God said, Psalms 37 in verse 1, fret, 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 fret not thyself because of evildoers, doers, doers, evildoers, doers, doers. They always doing evil, always doing evil, always, always doing evil, always spreading lies, 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 rumors, 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 blackmail, 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 always trying to get money, always trying to get money, always trying to exploit, always trying to exploit, evil, 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 evil. Are you an evildoer? If you are, guess what? The day is going to come when you realize that you touch God's anointed. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Is your love real or is your love fake? Do you have a willingness to love tonight? Do you feel the Holy Ghost knocking on your door? Are you going to open up the door? Are you going to humble yourself and recall by my name? Shall humble themselves and pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their land. I will heal their land. I will, I will, I will, I will heal your land. But you first must humble yourself. Pride will prevent you from humbling yourself before an almighty God. God don't care about your position. God don't care about your wealth. God don't care about your prestige. He don't care about your job. He don't care about your ministry. He care about the contents of your heart. And your heart is either right with him or your heart is not right with him. You are either walking with him or you are walking with yourself. Which one is it going to be? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? We have a command from God, and that command says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great command. And the second is that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Are you ready to accept change tonight? Are you excited about this message tonight? Do you feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost tonight? tonight. If you do, lift up your hands and tell God thank you. As we say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, O God, for bringing correction. I thank you for instructing me and leading me into your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Romans 12 and 9, it says, don't let love be without dissimulation. Because in Galatians 2, we talked about how the Apostle Peter in love, that the Apostle Paul had to correct Peter because his love was tainted. So in Romans 12 and 9, this is my opinion, my personal opinion, okay? Romans 12 and 9 should be part of every discipleship class for new converts. And new converts are new believers in Christ Jesus. Because people need to learn the difference between real love and fake love right from the door. While the coffin is still open, the body of Christ still had room to die. And to die to improper love and learn how to love properly from a biblical perspective. We must learn how to develop a willingness to love, and this involves being honest with God, yourself, and with those that you meet along the way, including the unlovable. Did you hear that? Including the unlovable, including the untouchable, including the invincible. You know, those people in the noseblood section that think they superior, they operate in the spirit of elitism, and you're not worthy enough to touch them, to interact with them, let alone be in their presence. You have to learn how to love these people anyway. And I don't say that in a facetious manner. It's real. And we like to keep it real on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, where we give God the glory and the honor because it is his network. So developing a willingness to love requires the ability to trust God's commands and do what he says, not worrying about people's response to your love. Your love is between you and God. It's not between you and people. When you misrepresent God's love and you hurt people, then God steps in because God loves all his children, and we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Let's look at our willingness to love. Are you willing to love based on the contents of your heart versus the contents of your mind, where negative mindsets, ideologies, prejudices, social injustices, wrongdoings, mistreatment, and abuse stole, silenced, and muffled your love? And that was the question that I opened up this broadcast with tonight. And I want to identify the spirit of robbery. And if you go with me real quick, we're going to go to John, the 10th chapter, and verse 10. And for those of you that follow along with me, you know just about every broadcast, every teach that I do, I always mention John 10:10. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's a powerful scripture. If you take the time to do a study on this one verse, you will be there for a very, 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 very long time because it's very rich. It exposes a lot. It exposes the operations of the enemy, the enemies of our soul, and what they come to do. So I am going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. John 10:10 in the King James Version first. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So now we're going to read it in the Amplified Version. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So if your life is not overflowing, If you are not enjoying life and if you're not experiencing abundant life, then my question to you is why? What has the thief stolen from you? How did he kill and destroy your dreams, your vision, your destiny? And one cohort is through the spirit of robbery. If the enemy can get you to operate in the spirit of hate by stealing your love, guess what? You cooperated with the spirit of robbery. When you get angry and you choose not to forgive, you forfeit. You give away what belongs to you. What God has for you, it is for you. Protect what you have. Choose to forgive. It's not about the person. Release them. Forgive them. Release them and bless them. Forgive them. Release them and bless them. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Are you willing to love like God? Are you willing to love your neighbor as you love yourself? Earlier when I was talking about the different ways that we reject love, that we don't embrace love, when we don't have a willingness to love, there's a bunch of barriers that we need to tear down. And my question is, are you ready to destroy barriers and tear down walls that cause division and separation, not only in the body of Christ, but also in humanity? Because this is not a black world. This is not a white world. This world is full of nations, of different ethnicities. And God said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. So if you are one of the barriers that are causing division and separation in humanity, let's move away from the color of our skin, please. Let's move away from our faith, and let's look at our ability to make a positive change by doing what Michael Jackson said and looking in the mirror and starting with ourselves. Who are you? Are you really who you say you are, or are you perpetrating the fraud? Is your love real, or is your love fake? Are you willing to free the love inside of your heart and open the floodgates? Because once you release the floodgates, guess what? Your love is beautiful. Your love is strong. Your love is intelligent. Your love is high. Your love is low. Your love is servable. Your love is teachable. Your love is lovable. Your love is huggable. Are you willing to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit? Are you willing to love your neighbor as yourself? Pause and think about that. Are you willing to let your love be real? Let love arise from the reservoir of God's love. My, my, my. That is precious right there. Let love be without dissimulation. This is Stacy Lunsford, and you're listening to the Heartbeat of God. And my prayer tonight is that the body of Christ, that we will all develop a willingness to love. Thank you so much for joining me. I pray that you have been blessed by tonight's broadcast. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.